Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley in DC. Just start by telling us your name and your title at Blumhouse.
Hey, I'm Ryan Turek. I'm the VP of film, feature films over at Blumhouse Productions.
Yes, the iconic studio of so many hit
Yes.
movies, Paranormal Activity and the rest. It's been incredible to watch what you all have built, and all of us horror fans are all the better for it. We're grateful.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we're very busy over here.
Exactly. Well, tell us that we have a really cool event that kicks off today at AMC Theaters that you all are sort of partnering with. It's called the Halfway to Halloween Film Fest. We've heard of Christmas in July, but now we got Halloween in March and April. Tell us there's just the idea behind it. Just the overview of how many cities and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, we just we're very excited about Halfway to Halloween. It's something that I feel like took hold on social media. People who obviously are obsessed like we are with the holiday want it just a little bit sooner and want to recognize it a little bit sooner. So let's mark the halfway point with a little bit of a celebration. And then let's also celebrate this kind of new merger that we have found ourselves in with James Wan's company, Atomic Monster. James's company is known for the Conjuring universe, and James, of course, directed Insidious for us. And between the kind of halfway to Halloween celebration and then the merger, and then also the 13th anniversary of Insidious, we thought, let's just put together a 5-day film festival. So starting today, running through Tuesday at AMC Theaters, you could find Sinister playing tonight, The Purge tomorrow night, Ouija Origin of Evil on Sunday, Insidious on Monday, and The Invisible Man on Tuesday. And if you go to amctheaters.com/events, you'll find the Halfway to Halloween hub that gives you a breakdown of all the theaters in your local area. It's playing in 100 theaters, 44 markets. And we're hoping that people get out and go have a good time at the theater with some scary movies that we created. Kind of some of them, from the early days of Blumhouse. The Invisible Man is a little bit more recent, but we're kind of hoping that fans come out, celebrate, and hoping too that like a new generation of horror movie lovers who didn't get a chance to see these movies on the big screen can, and go see it with friends and family.
Yeah, and it's Easter weekend, so people might have some days off school if they want to go. And you
That's
don't think
right.
of these movies as Easter movies per se, but you know what? You can fire up the Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and all the classics, at home on Turner Classic, throughout the weekend. But if you want something to go out to do, something maybe a little
Yes.
off season, something fun, if you're a horror fan,
That's right. That's right. That's right. We call it counter programming. You
right there.
know, you know, just like it's The Exorcist way back in the day was released around Christmas, if you
Oh,
remember.
okay.
Like, and so did Scream. Scream, which was a huge success, was released around Christmas, and it was just because they found an opportune reason of like everybody's going to be in the holiday spirit, but there's horror fans out there that are going to want to go out for a scary good time.
Right, exactly. Well, here it's a cool offering for fans of the genre for the weekend for sure. Well, without further ado, let's dive into, one at a time, the lineup here. Because you have some great picks, if I must say so. So all right, so
Yeah.
tonight, Friday, March 29th, we kick off with Scott Derrickson's Sinister from 2012, starring Ethan Hawke. Tell me about why this was a great pick, and that lawnmower sort of jump scare is
I
one of the
mean,
greats that, it always pops up on like the best countdown, movie moment. So yeah, why did we go with this one?
yeah, we went with this one because obviously, we have a really great relationship with Scott Derrickson. He directed a fantastic film for us called Black Phone
Oh, I love the
recently.
Black Phone. I love the
Yeah,
Black Phone.
the Black Phone's great. And Sinister is, on websites, it's, there was a science study that was like, are horror films good for your health? And what are the scariest movies of all time according to science? And Sinister was the scariest movie of all time. They'd like tested a bunch of people watching the movie or something.
According to science.
So according to science, believe science.
Yeah.
So it was fantastic. And Sinister is a representation of one of those early Blumhouse movies that's just really scary wall to wall. And you said it yourself, the lawnmower scene. And you know, that's a sequence that needs to be seen in the theaters, because it's just a imagine seeing that on a 40-foot screen with, you know, the Dolby sound and all that jazz. You're going to fly out of your seat.
Yes. And if you have seen it before, it's worth seeing it again because you can kind of sit there and look out of the corner of your eye, what knowing it's coming and watching everyone freak out.
Yeah,
Which is one of the
it's
joys of
great.
movie going. If you've seen something other people haven't, that's one of my favorites,
That's
especially in
yes,
horror.
exactly.
All right. And then so that kicks it off tonight. And then tomorrow, Saturday, March 30th, we get James DeMonaco's The Purge 2013. Also Ethan Hawke. So Ethan Hawke coming strong in the beginning of this.
We love Ethan Hawke. We
Of
love
course.
Ethan Hawke.
Of course. Absolutely. All right. Well, tell me, The Purge, why it was a good pick?
Yeah.
Why the legacy of it? Because it really did that premise of no, you know, crime free for a day is genius on its own, but it really did launch an entire franchise where every installment was solid as well and got stronger and stronger and, you know, social commentary all the way.
Social commentary across the board. And yeah, this was like a perfect, the Purge is the perfect collision of social commentary, political subtext, and obviously, you know, popcorn thrills. And it was just one of those movies that, like you said, it kicked off a long-running franchise, a television series. And you know, it holds a special place in our heart because DeMonaco came to us with an idea that was just like a fantastic no-brainer, Rod Serling-esque, Twilight Zone-esque idea, you know, which is, what if for 12 hours all crime was legal? And The Purge represents, at the time, you know, how do you take a giant world-building idea and do it on a Blumhouse budget? And this is that representation of it. You know, it becomes a siege movie, and you know, it's a keyhole look into a wider world. So when you go in and you see The Purge, you know, you kind of see, okay, they did this on a budget, it's super scary. And then you look at the franchise and you can see how they got bigger and bigger over time. You know, the second movie, we took it to the streets. The third film, you know, the scope got even wider. Fourth film got wider, you know, that we did the first Purge, the last Purge. So, you know, it just felt like The Purge was a really good representation of what Blumhouse was.
Absolutely. Well said. All right. And then moving to Sunday, March 31st, we have Ethan Hawke's Wheat. I'm just kidding. It's Mike Flanagan's is it Ouija or Ouija? I always, you know,
Ouija, Ouija, yeah,
Ouija
Ouija.
board. Ouija, Origin of Evil from 2016. Now this was Mike Flanagan, obviously actual local ties. I think he graduated from high school in Maryland, went to Towson University near Baltimore, so the pride of our area. So we rooting for him. But you know, I guess what he had done Oculus, but Ouija was really what showed him, you know, allowed him to do Gerald's Game and Doctor Sleep, and then of course all those great Netflix shows, Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor,
Yeah.
Midnight Mass, love Midnight Mass, love Fall of House of
Yep.
Usher. I could go all day, but yeah, talk about why Mike Flanagan's sort of early skill is on display here.
Oh man, we love Mike Flanagan. And yeah, you brought up a great title. Oculus is fantastic. He did an independent film called Absentia way before that. And you know, it was just, I think putting this on the schedule just felt right, because he had done another movie for us quote previously called Hush. And that was a smaller movie, kind of home invasion film, masked killer movie, very good, very scary. But you know, this kind of sat into the realm of the supernatural, and he just did a really great job. And I think a lot of people remember Mike for, you know, all the titles that you rattled off that are part of his Netflix deal. You know, it was even Midnight Club. Like, I thought Midnight Club was very good too. And so yeah, like it just felt, you know, this is kind of like a period piece. You know, he brought a lot of style to it. It's very clever. You know, it's about a family that are kind of not necessarily, I wouldn't say scam artists, but you know, they're pulling a ruse on people, and then real supernatural stuff like kicks into gear. But we love what he did with the Ouija franchise.
Absolutely. And I remember that what I'm trying to remember what installment of that franchise it was, but it's not the first one. He came in and really jacked it up another notch.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
All right. And then Monday, April 1st, the penultimate day is James Wan, who you mentioned earlier, Insidious from 2010, starring Patrick Wilson, Rose Byrne. I guess Juan had done Saw before this, but and then The Conjuring after this. So, but Insidious. So Insidious was kind of a great sort of turning point in his career. Talk about why this movie is so darn freaky, and I mean that
man.
Legendary scene where you know you can sort of see that red demonic face kind of barely peeking out behind his head. That's an iconic jump scare. It's almost like, you know, it's become sort of like a social media meme worthy now, you know,
it is
culture now, but talk about Insidious.
Yeah. Insidious, again, another movie that holds a special place in our heart, came after Paranormal Activity for us. You know, Blumhouse was starting to find its footing, working with really creative filmmakers, working on small budgets, betting on themselves to tell a scary movie and get creative freedom at the same time. And this is a prime example of that. You know, James Wan had, as you said, did Saw, and then he did a couple of big studio movies, but then kind of pared it back for Insidious and went back to basics to tell a scary movie that's a little bit like, you know, it's a little Poltergeist inspired. It focuses on a family, which everybody can connect with. And, you know, there's a big twist in this movie where it's not the house that's haunted, it's your son. That's the tagline, you know? And it launched a franchise because, you know, similar to what they did with Saw, James Wan and Lee Whannell just expertly created a world out of very small means, you know? And so you've got the story of a family that discover an evil entity is targeting their son. But then you get lore like The Further, you know, and you understand that there are demons that lurk out there and angry souls. And the movie was such a hit that it spawned Insidious 2, Insidious Chapter 2, Chapter 3, 4, Insidious 4, The Last Key, and most recently Insidious The Red Door. So, you know, I think what's kind of exciting about having it on the slate is that, you know, Insidious The Red Key is on Netflix right now. And I feel like there are horror movie lovers or casual movie fans that are like, oh, what is this? And they'll just kick it on. And they'll be like, oh, I wonder where this all started. Mm-hmm. Well, here you go. You know, they can go to see it on Monday and see it on the big screen. So, yeah, it's fun to see where it all began.
The origin story of it.
The origin story, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's a freaky movie. And by the way, you dropped Poltergeist. That movie still works, baby. My family, this past Halloween, we have a tradition where we set up like a projector in a backyard and, mm-hmm. you know, show it on a barn or a fence. And we watched Poltergeist. And my God, it still works.
Yeah.
It still works.
It still cooks. Yeah. No,
it really
great.
Does. It really does. All right. And then closing it out, culminating on Tuesday, April 2nd, Lee Whannell, you just mentioned him because, you know, he and Juan, you know, collaborated on mm-hmm. Saw. I guess Whannell, he wrote it, I think, wrote Saw and starred in it, of course.
Yeah.
But and Juan directed it. But here's Whannell directing a great, great remake in 2020 of The Invisible Man starring Elizabeth Moss. Man, just... I don't know about you, but to me, I think it's one of the best horror remakes of all time. Like, I think it was like one of the last movies I saw in the theaters before the pandemic mm-hmm. hit. It was like February 2020, I think. And I ended up putting it in my top 10 of that year, like at the end of the year, you know, up against all the Oscar contenders because I thought it was that good. But yeah, what say you?
Oh, yeah. No, I think this is like one of my favorites that Blumhouse has produced. It's so, so great. I mean, like it's taking an age-old universal classic movie monster idea and truly, truly contemporizing it in a way that John Carpenter took The Thing from Another World, which was like a 1950s, you know, creature feature. And then he brought it into the 80s and was like, here's how you do it in the 80s. Here's how you do it with 80s technology and 80s, you know, themes and ideas, you know, and that movie is now a cult classic, you know, or just classic in general. And Lee applied the same approach, which was, you know, what's scary about the invisible man? How can I apply that to contemporary ideas or relationships and then just turn up the tension and turn up the scares? And he did such a fantastic job. There are some all-timer moments in it. And it was the first movie that, you know, it was the first movie. It was one of the first classic movie monsters that we took on. So now we're going to do it again with the Wolfman. We're shooting the Wolfman right now with Lee Whannell. So, and he's applying the same principles to it. He's going to give you a Wolfman like you've never seen before. So it's going to be really cool.
Oh, if the Invisible Man is was if was any indication, the Wolfman is going to be really, really cool. Everybody, check that out. When's that arriving theaters?
I'd have to check my notes.
No worries. See the five movies
Soon.
during this weekend, folks, and then put that as a teaser in the back of your brain.
Yeah.
Look
October,
forward.
I believe.
In a
October, I
future
believe.
Halloween or something. All right, cool. All right, well, just close it out. What do people need to know? I guess how much tickets I think are $8 or plus tax or whatever. And it comes with a mystery gift.
Mystery gift. We also have exclusives that are going to be paired with the film, so you'll get special messages from Ethan Hawke and James Wan and Jason Blum and a few other goodies. So definitely trying to make it a celebration and make it a party.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. If you can't tell, I love this stuff. So thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
no,
you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for doing this, folks. Again, it's
Of course.
called Halfway to Halloween Film Fest, a 5-day multiplex event that launches in over 40 cities this weekend in the US. Thanks for
Yep.
doing this.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Jason.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good one.